This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
We know here on RNIB Connect Radio that many blind and partially sighted people might pick up a musical instrument and learn to play it. But how many have composed, written, performed and produced their own songs and have them published on many of the streaming platforms, including Spotify and YouTube? Well, Marshall Fairbrother, who is totally blind and in his early 20s, this summer released his debut song with How They Were, which he composed, wrote, sung and performed many of the instruments on the track too. And I'm delighted that Marshall joins me now to not only tell me a little bit more about his background and getting into music, but also about his debut song too. Hello Marshall, and welcome to RNIB Connect Radio.
Hi Toby, really honoured to be here. Thanks for this, thanks for the opportunity.
So Marshall, take me back to those first days that you got into music, as I think at a very early age you managed to master playing the piano, guitar and drums and all by ear too.
Yeah, so I had piano lessons from around 2008, 2009 up until around 2013, so that would have put me about 5-6 years old, up to just before my 10th birthday. And then I ceased those because my piano teacher, she was winding down from doing like the teaching gigs all the time. I'd always had funding, I believe through the Amber Trust back then, to be able to get those lessons. And yeah, I just couldn't decide where I wanted to go next in terms of an instrument, or even if I wanted to stick with piano and just try and find another teacher, which I knew was going to be hard. So I kind of went on a year's hiatus where I did no music lessons from 2013 to 2014. And during that time, I'd always wanted to learn guitar. I wanted to learn drums, maybe a bit of bass guitar as well. I was listening to a lot of guitar-driven music at the time. Linkin Park, Limp Bizkit, Blink-182. Yeah, I had quite a wide range of music in the house to explore, and those were the sort of instruments I wanted to play, and those were the sort of people I wanted to sound like. And then we arrived at St. Benedict's School in 2014. That would have put me at age 11, and all the music teachers that were employed by the school to teach, guitar, drums, I believe they did piano lessons as well, maybe some classical instruments like saxophone, sax or clarinet. They all came in at the start of the term to demonstrate their instruments, putting their feelers out for some new students. And I wanted to take drums, but we didn't have the space at home for drums, so I decided to take guitar instead. Originally, I was on acoustic guitar, and then I moved to electric guitar because I was just playing more electric guitars than I was acoustic guitars. So, I was having acoustic guitar lessons, but I was playing electric guitars. So eventually I moved to electric guitar and, got my first electric guitar for Christmas that year. I passed my electric guitar grades 1 and 2 in 2016 and 2018, respectively. Yeah, I did that. Was having lessons all the way up until I left school in 2019, and then I decided when I went to college, if I had the time, I was going to try and learn drums. So I would book the studio when I had no lesson time going on, if there was no one around, and I would sit and I would play along for ages to my iPod Touch, as it was at the time, just playing along to my iTunes library. So you'd get anything from Limp Bizkit to Foo Fighters to even, softer stuff like Ed Sheeran, Ellie Goulding, people like that. And I was just like, I'm going to work this out one way or another. And I learned the drums mostly by ear until I started taking professional lessons in 2022.
Well, you seem to have certainly carved out a career for yourself in the music industry, not only playing and producing. And I wondered, how does it work in the studio for you as a blind person when you are composing, writing, singing, recording and producing your songs and then getting them out onto those streaming platforms?
Yeah. So in terms of the studio, I try to use like as much analog hardware as I can. We've got an Audient ASP 8024 desk at the studio that I am currently working out of, which is the same desk that I trained on at West Knox College. So I, of course, know my way around it because I trained on that desk when I was at college. And in terms of the digital side of it, the DAW, we always record on Mac systems. At least most of the studios I've worked in and around have always recorded on Mac systems, which makes things incredibly easy because that means that VoiceOver, which is a screen reader which comes on every Apple device by default, it's incredibly easy to walk into a studio, turn on VoiceOver, open up a DAW such as Logic or Pro Tools, and then to start working on it. In terms of Pro Tools specific stuff, there is a guide that a member of the blind community from the United States put together. That person is called Slau Hallerton, S-L-A-U Hallerton, and he did an entire guide on the accessibility of Pro Tools for blind and visually impaired users. So yeah, that is what there is in terms of Pro Tools access. And there's also an extra accessibility layer called Flow Tools, which you can add on. And all these things, in terms of the actual managing the recording session, all come into play. They all work with each other just to create like an easily manageable experience for someone like me who's obviously got quite a lot of confidence. Obviously, for people just starting out, it could be quite daunting and quite intimidating seeing all this stuff in front of you. You know, in terms of, you know, you've got to read like a 20-odd chapter plus guide on Pro Tools access to really master it, or you know, you've got to learn how to operate a piece of hardware like an interface or a desk or something like that. But once you get the hang of it, it becomes second nature and you can really move on it, and you know, you can really get great results with it. In terms of the practical side of the recording itself, in terms of say recording, I don't know, a live band, live drums, things like that, I've always found that I've been able to, especially on the higher end kits that I've been playing at the bigger studios like the Old Library, I've been able to get really great sounds out of the kits using obviously conventional mic techniques for drums, which I won't go into too much detail about how to mic up a drum kit. Maybe if people express a lot of interest in that, I could come back on and talk for an hour on my preferred methods of miking up drums and tuning drums and preparing to track. But in terms of the actual practical side of getting everything placed, like the close mics, the kick, the snare, the toms, they're easy enough to do. The real killers are the overhead mics, which go above the kit, and they're used to capture a really nice stereo image of the kit, as well as to capture the cymbals and, you know, basically an overhead view of the kit. Those actually have to be measured in phase, which means that you have to, if you want to do it properly, you have to measure it up and you have to make sure that the left-hand overhead mic and the right-hand overhead mic are equal distant from the snare, using the snare drum as the centre point. Obviously, without seeing what you're doing, that is quite hard to do. So the way I'd normally do it is I'll get them in like a general position, and I'll do that by, normally I'll have my back stood. If a kit has got two crash cymbals on it, I will stand with my back to the left crash, and I'll put the overhead mic over my right shoulder, so I want my right shoulder kind of aiming towards the crash. And then I'll put the mic kind of either over the shoulder, or I'll go over the bracket of the cymbal stand, go more towards the edge of the cymbal. And then I'll do that with the right hand crash as well. And then when I'm done, if there's a sighted engineer around, which normally at these commercial facilities there is, like the Old Library in Mansfield, I will literally just say to them, you know, hey dude, I've placed the overheads where I think they should be, but could you please go into the room and just check that they're in phase and check that all my mics are measured up properly, you know, and just make sure that everything's A-OK before we record.
And Marsha, I know with all your experience as a musician, composer, writer and producer, you like to help other blind and partially sighted musicians, and you've helped to start up a regular music session for anyone who is sort of visually impaired and interested in learning to play a musical instrument or jamming with their friends or maybe even doing a bit of gigging, which is open to anyone, even if they haven't picked up a musical instrument before.
Yeah. So this rounds off to Inspire Youth Arts again. They kind of had the idea and I came in and kind of helped them solidify it and make sure it was all to the standard it needed to be. And yeah, now I am also a participant in those sessions and I give advice and whatever to the upper management if I see things are kind of falling and they're not where they're supposed to be. So I'll give you kind of a background as to what those sessions are. So sessions that Toby is referencing here are the VIP sessions. VIP in this case stands for visually impaired people, which obviously gives you an idea of how bespoke the sessions actually are. The sessions are open to anyone in Nottingham or Nottinghamshire, even as far down as kind of just bridging over the Derbyshire border, from ages 12 to 25, keeping with the UK kind of disability limits of kind of, you know, some places do extra stuff until you're 25, some will go up to 30. So we do 12 to 25, and sessions are open to anyone who is blind or visually impaired in any sense of the term. So, you know, you could be partially sighted, losing your sight, and, you know, you're kind of looking for things and looking for support, looking for kind of activities to do when the unthinkable eventually happens. Or, you know, you could be like myself and like the others who are at the sessions, totally blind. You know, it's a very wide system to which we can cater for. The sessions are there for people who have basically any level of musical experience. If you're looking to pick up a musical instrument for the first time but you're not sure where to start, if you're looking to be around that sort of environment to kind of jam with other people in the same position as you, if you are also totally blind or severely visually impaired, or, you know, however, wherever you are on the spectrum of visual impairment, and depending on where you are on the experience level as well, like, you know, you can be kind of at my level, you know, jumping around, playing guitar, keys, drums, doing a bit of singing, or you could be somebody who's totally new, who doesn't particularly know what they want to pick up, and you can get to try all the instruments we've got. We've got electric guitar, we've got piano, we've got full well-tuned drum kit all ready to go. So if you're interested in getting involved in the VIP sessions, if you meet or you think you meet any of the following criteria, which is living within an hour, 15 minutes car ride to the Old Library Studios in Mansfield, either being totally blind or severely visually impaired, are interested in music, whether you are an advanced instrumentalist just starting out, intermediate, or you've never picked up an instrument before, and you're between 12 to 25, and this also goes for parents listening to this as well, the details you will need to email the Inspire Youth Arts team are iya@inspireculture.org.uk. So the email address is iya@inspireculture.org.uk, and if you put in the subject line that you're interested in VIP, somebody should get back to you.
In June, Marshall, you released your first debut song with How They Were, which I think is slightly sort of deeply personal song, and would you mind sort of telling me a little bit about what the song is all about, if that's okay?
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, you're right. How They Were is a very personal project to me in terms of, you know, the meaning behind it. I wanted to kind of write something to kind of express my feelings of how it was back in, you know, 2020, 2021 for me. You know, I was this 16 going on 17 year old college kid, very freshly blooded. You know, I was promised all these things about, you know, you should be gaining your independence, you should be going out, you should be, you know, you should be going to gigs without parents there. You know what I mean? It was like I was promised all this, I was promised the world in terms of what I could look at doing. And then of course COVID came along, fouled up my college course, ruined my college course, and also ruined everything else, because with that came no gigs, because I don't go to shows very often. And if I did want to go and see anyone like, you know, a Linkin Park or a Blink 182 or an Ellie Goulding, I couldn't go without having someone with me anyway. So it was like, you know, with that came the issue of, well, you know, it's ruined my college course, which means I'm not really going to be able to make friends with anyone properly in person to the point where I can go out with them and I can do things in the evenings, or I can stay after college and we can rehearse in the studio until they kick us out, you know, and we can do all the rowdy band stuff that is probably, you know, what colleges and universities come to expect for people on a music course. None of that was available to, well, it wasn't just me, but to any of us. And obviously the added thing in there of me being totally blind as well meant that, you know, it wasn't very easy to recover from. It wasn't like, you know, the restrictions were lifted back in 2021 fully. It wasn't like I was just able to just pick up and continue on, because being stuck in here like that, you know, I kind of lost quite a lot of confidence and was knocked back quite a few steps in terms of what I was doing. So, yeah, you know, the part of the chorus, when will things be back to how they were, you know, it's quite a deeply personal thing. I mean, I actually wrote the guitars for that track. I actually wrote the guitars before I wrote the lyrics, and the guitars were also quite deeply personal to me as well for another reason, because I wrote the guitar riff for that track when I was in my studio. I'd just finished one of the last gigs I was going to do at the old library under Andy Dawson, under the old manager. And, you know, it was kind of a point of transition that, you know, I'd done so much stuff under Andy with the whole Able Orchestra, the VIP, everything. And now he's gone. You know, I didn't know what was coming for Inspire Youth Arts, and thus I didn't know what was coming for me. So, you know, that guitar part was just like a mono electric that I just kind of recorded in that moment of reflection. So, yeah, the whole song's deeply personal.
Well, before we hear how they were, Marshall, how can people find out more about you and listen to your music?
Yeah, so to find out more about me, you can go to my YouTube channel, which is just called Marshall Fairbrother, and that is spelt Marshall with two L's, M-A-R-S-H-A-L-L, Fairbrother, F-A-I-R, brother, all one word. And a lot of my mixes that I put out that I'm allowed to release are put out there. There's a couple of live streams where I've mixed a song from start to finish, and I've broken down the mix for my second ever release. And I'm also available on Spotify and all the other major streaming services, because the song was released through a local record label, so we're tapped into all the streaming services: Deezer, Amazon Music, Apple Music, everything.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Marshall, for chatting with me here on R&IB Connect Radio, telling me about your background in music and also all about your debut song, How They Were.
Not a problem at all. Really honoured to be able to come on, and thanks for allowing me to have this opportunity.
When will things be